We'll start Proverbs 29 and verse number 7. It says, "The righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it." This is one of the important verses that concerns giving. Because if you're going to give to somebody, the Bible says that you'll consider the cause of the poor. Why is the man poor? There's different reasons for being poor. Now, we're supposed to be good stewards of what God's entrusted us with, and I think we've talked about these matters several times through the Proverbs, but the main thing is this somebody here who really needs the help or not? I've given you the example of, you know, if somebody wants help, you know, and they say, "Well, I want $250 cash," and you say, "Look, I can't give you cash, but I tell you what I can do. I can take you right down here and fill your car up with gas." "No, I just need the cash." Well, you don't need my money. You know, it's got to be something like that. So we got to consider the cause. But to someone who's wicked, there's different ways you can read that thing, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. You know, you can look at that verse like this right here. You know what a wicked person will do? What won't care about that person's soul. You know what they do? They help them into hell. You know, you don't really think about it like that, but a lot of times we actually help people so much we hurt them. There have been people who've been helped too much. I believe this way, and I think I've got it in one sermon, you know, and you always got the critics, you know. But I believe this right here. I believe that people over there in those other countries, do not help them unless you're going to give them the gospel. I literally think you help people in hell. Why? It's better. Somebody, they say, "Well, they're starving to death." Well, folks, if they starve to death, it's five and below or whatever it is, you know. As long as before they know they're a sinner and they die in that state, well, at least they die innocent and they go to heaven. Well, man, you take some of these kids and you feed them and all this stuff, don't give them the gospel, and they grow up and then let's say they make it to 15 to 20. Well, then they die and go to hell. And man, let the Lord's word dictate who we give and who we don't give to. And man, that Bible's right every time. It says, "Scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath." I believe we've seen that plenty with our leadership, over so many administrations, y'all. Scornful men, people who, you know, the Bible talks about in early Proverbs, you know, going from a simple person to a fool and then a scorner. Well, a scorner is somebody who has just got to where they just reject God's word and hate God's word, and guess what they do? They bring others into a snare. You know, you take an administration, this previous one who led by Muslims and those like who can't stand the Bible, guess what they do? They trap people, man. Just literally bring people into a trap. And all this, "Give me, give me, give me, give me stuff," let me tell you what, it's got to come out of somebody's pocket. You know this whole thing when people say, "Well, tax the rich and feed the poor." Well, hold on, those rich people, guess what they do? They give people jobs. Yeah. And see, that's what people don't want to look at, that side of it. You know, if you hurt small businesses, guess what happens? You take a lot of jobs. A lot of jobs from a place. And what happens is, a scorner who don't believe in the word is contrasted here, but wise men turn away wrath. You know what? Nationwise, you take wise people and wise leaders and things like that, you know what they do? They can literally lead a nation to where that nation's serving God and be good examples. And guess what? They can help turn away the wrath of God. You know, you take some of these leaders, wrath being connected with so many of these agendas and people who are Bible rejectors. Well, you get somebody in there who's against all these prideful, wicked movements, and guess what? For a little while, the wrath of God has abated there. Maybe this thing we see right now, this thing will be something like this, turning away wrath for just a little while longer. You get a chance to get the gospel out for just a little while longer. And you never know, because I'm going to tell you something. You'll see in these texts here in just a little while, we got another one that's going to go with it. But wicked rulers can help bring more wicked people, and then you get the wrath that come in. I mean, it just follows along. Verse number 9 says this, "If a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest." Now, I heard this one time, "A foolish man can no more see his foolishness than his ears." And that's about right there. Most fools that I've ran into can't even see that they're fools. You get talking to them, and you know what? They know everything. If you ever get around those people, you don't know nothing like what they know. That's a hard person to deal with. I'm thinking about somebody, I can't name their name, because I wished I could. I know somebody right now that they always know more than you do. It don't matter what subject you're talking about. And you know what people do? Whenever you're in the conversation with them, guess what? You just close your mouth. Why? Because you may as well just sit there and listen. Why? Because they're going to tell you the stuff that you didn't even know. And man, that Bible says right there, it's a fool. And you got these fools here in the world, but it says, we it can apply to witnessing. If a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage. Now, you know, you got an example of rage. Witnessing to somebody, or here the Lord Jesus Christ is, nobody ever witnessed better than he did and shared the word better than him. But in Luke 4, he gives those texts, and then he starts talking about these Gentiles. Why? Because he knew they was going to turn them down. So he starts talking about these Gentiles in Luke 4. The Bible talks about how they were filled with wrath, and they were going to cast him off the hill there, off the side of the cliff. They were raging. They were rage at the living, breathing Word of God. And they got mad. And guess what? If they get mad at Him, they get mad at us. But now another thing too. Whether they rage, whether they laugh. You know what? There were people, the Lord was going to perform a miracle. I think it was like Mark 9, somewhere around in there. And I think it was the daughter of Jairus. And you know what? Some of them laughed Him to scorn, the Bible says. And that's what we get our saying. We laughed Him to scorn. Well, guess what happened? That whether they rage or whether they laugh, guess what? There's no rest. Why? Because whether they do either one of those things, the Bible says, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest." There's no rest there because they're not coming to the only one who can give them rest. And that's what happens. That's why I can tell you what, in witnessing, the more I've seen, and I hope the Lord lets me go with Brother Carey more and more. You know what you'll find out? And Brother Hoffman brought this out, and I really like that. The one who gives you the most trouble, that is the one who you can touch the best. The one who comes up there and gives you the worst, sometimes a cussing. Well, at least they can be touched. At least they're being pricked. At least they're sensitive enough to get touched. You know who you have to worry about or be concerned about? Not worry about. I shouldn't have said that. Concerned about the one who can just walk by. And guess what? They're numb. They're numb. They've gotten to the point where they can just look at it and yeah. That's the ones there. And you know what I learned as far as, you know, witnessing at work and things like that? The people, whenever you talk to them and you'll say something about the Bible or something like that, especially like the King James issue, you'll notice one thing. A lot of the people who get mad and they say, "What? That's not right. What do you mean there's mistakes in my Bible?" Okay, well, guess what? They got enough about them where you can sit there, okay, well, let me show you then. At least they'll sit there. You know what some people do? You'll say something about the Bible issue, yeah, they're all the same. One same's a... They don't care. Well, see, they've become numb to the thing and you can't get nowhere edgewise. So I'll tell you what, whether they rage or at least there's a feeling there still. And I tell you what, they don't find rest. You know what I pray? I pray, Lord, don't give them rest till they get right with you. I tell you what, man, that's like getting people peace on things. Lord, help convict them. Man, just pray, Lord, convict their heart. And actually have a something be stirred up about something. You know, Paul said over there in Acts, he got stirred up when he saw the city was given to idolatry. You know what's wrong with Americans? Not stirred up about anything. They don't get mad enough to even get down and pray. That's bad, man. Whenever we talk about how we're concerned with people and won't even pray. You know what? One of the greatest things you can do is pray for somebody, man. You know, people talk about, "What can I do for you?" I don't need your money. I need your prayers, man. Yeah, I mean, I'd rather have that than I had anything else. Because, man, God can move in and do something. He can stir up hearts and things like that and get things done. But, man, we can't do anything. And so you see that this verse here, these people, whether they rage or they laugh, look, they don't have no rest. At least they got some feelings about something. Now, here's a strange verse. The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. Now, witnessing wise, devotionally wise, you got somebody who's bloodthirsty. They can't stand somebody who's trying to witness the upright, somebody's trying to live for the Lord. But we're trying to seek people's souls. We're trying to see people's souls get right. You know what I mean? But there's another application too. Once you see something about this bloodthirsty, look over here at Ezekiel 39 with me. And I am not, and by no means going to delve into the whole thing. I just hope maybe to maybe some of these verses will give you a little appetite to go study it on more. But the bloodthirsty, you know, it's a strange thing nowadays. It's a strange thing that when I was a kid, the vampire was the bad guy. It really, I mean, they had him in this old cape thing, you know, and he was ugly, and he was pale white face, and I remember his hair came down to a V like this, and he's silly kind of character, he's slick back, you know, and he's mean. Well, now they're beautiful. Guess what they do? They sparkle. Mm-hmm. Ain't that something? Mm-hmm. Angels of light, you know. And what I'm saying is, you're seeing a generation that's getting prepared. For somebody to see men, which are fallen angels, because angels don't have wings in the Bible, to come down here and be little supermen, and guess what? It wouldn't surprise me a bit if they shimmered, and if they sparkled, they were beautiful. And people say, aren't they beautiful? And guess what? They're like the devil. Why? He said, thy beauty hath corrupted thee over there. By reason of thy brightness. And they're bright, and guess what? They'll be bright both physically and mentally. Why, you think about all those thousands of years worth of wisdom and knowledge they've gained over the years. Man, people are marvel over those things. And you think about these bloodthirsty. It's amazing they call bloodthirsty. Why? Because there's strange verses in this Bible. I tell you what, there's no more interesting book than this King James Bible right here. Ezekiel 30. 9 verse 18, strange thing. Ye shall eat the flesh of the mighty, and drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of rams, of lambs, and of goats, and of bullocks, all of them fatlings of Bashan. Now you know what's going to happen one of these days? We're gonna look at some of these verses. I think it's interesting that the Lord's going to prepare this great supper for all these fowls and everything else, so they can drink blood and everything else. You know why? Because he says in one text, he said, "You've drank blood, or you've taken blood, and I'm giving you the blood to drink." And guess what? He's going to give the, because they drank blood, he's going to give the fowls of the air blood to drink from these wicked people. It's a strange thing how that thing works out. Why? Because you've got a law set up coming again, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Kind of like those evil spirits, you know. And look at this text here. Look at Revelation 16. Revelation 16. So those fowls, you see that in Ezekiel, are going to come down and drink that blood, and the Lord's prepared that thing for them. Now, you know, wouldn't this be a scary thing if somebody were to read the Bible and say, I don't believe it. And you know, this great big old Bible's coming up, and the Lord's summoning all these birds. Y'all go down there, you can have a great big old feast, and all these buzzards and ravens and all these unclean birds, some blackbirds and everything else start coming up, and they're just on the hills in droves. And she said, that'd be a scary sight, man. Yeah. I tell you how scary it is, because you don't think about it. But one guy, Alfred Hitchcock, made a whole movie back in the 60s or something like that called The Birds. I tell you what, why? It's creepy. It's a creepy thing, man. And you know what? Well, they get that thing. They get that stuff from the Bible. You got in Ezekiel, the Bible talks about, you know, don't curse the king in the bedchamber because a bird can carry it off. Well, you know, that shows you, like you gossip and stuff like that. Well, you know, that's an evil spirit, because it's somebody gossiping about somebody. Well, you know, the Holy Spirit's not going to carry it off. Well, that shows you those birds are pictures of unclean things, because all through the Bible you got those unclean birds, you know, and even in Revelation. But if you look in Revelation chapter number 16, look at verse 6. It says, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. Now, they're shedding that blood, and you see that thing there, but guess what they're doing? They're drinking blood. Look at they're going to drink this blood. Look at Psalm 16. And like I said, I got so many. I'm not going to stay here the whole night because I literally could. But I'm going to give you a couple things, and then you can start looking them up. But those souls are under that altar over in Revelation, I believe it's chapter 6, because they're going to have sacrifices of blood. And you know what people don't realize? You can watch movies if you want to, but no movie does the tribulation justice. Because you read over there in Zechariah in one place, well, they've got this basket, and I can't quote the text to you word for word, but what's happening is he said, this is wickedness. Why? Because they got a basket, and he's been telling them, y'all, you know, the whole time they're supposed to be bowing to an image. All right, well, there's these saints who don't bow to the image. So what happens is, you know what they do? They sit them down on their knees, and they put them down like this right here, and they open that basket up, and there's an image in there. And the last thing they see is that image, and they cut that head off. And that head goes in there with that basket. And he looks at that thing in that text, he said, man, this is wickedness. Because they wouldn't do it. Now, not to say that because they were forced and their heart wasn't in it. But that shows you how wicked he's going to be in those things will be in that time. And man, that's why when you try to witness to people, man, I've actually heard people say in the past 5 years, I've heard people say, oh, I'll just get saved in tribulation. You know you won't. If you won't get saved now, you're not going to get saved then. Why? Because it's going to be tough, man. Look, if these people will not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ now when it's easy, you imagine whenever they get hungry and they're giving over their belly and things like that, you think they're going to get... Man, they're not. And it's going to be crazy things. Why? People are going to literally be given completely over to the flesh, man. And not only that, the world's going to have such a hold, and the devil's going to be there too. You're going to have the world, the flesh, and the devil at full force in that time. Psalm 16, verse 4, it gives a lot of light on that thing. It says, their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another god. See that little G god? That's going to be the devil. All right, their drink offerings of blood. Now, who's that remind you of? The Roman Catholic Church. They say that thing turns into the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, guess what? One of these days, they're not going to turn it into blood. It'll be literal blood. And man, ain't that something? That Bible's got it. It says, blood will I not offer, nor take up their names under my lips. They're going to have drink offerings of blood. And there's text in there where it says, they eat up my people. And it's over and over and over in the Bible. And you know, you see that thing, doctrine, that thing will fit right there in the tribulation. Back to Proverbs, it said, the bloodthirsty hate the upright. You know what it's going to be? Right now, it's a pretty good contrast, but it's nothing like what it's going to be once the church goes out. Because once the church goes out, you're going to have a solid contrast, and you'll fit a lot of those verses in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John will fit right there in the tribulation, where you'll be able to look, and if somebody's not keeping them commandments, you'll be able to look and say, look, that person right there is not right with God. That person not saved. Now, right now, you have, according to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, chapter number 3, you've got babes in Christ. You've got carnal Christians, and then you've got spiritual people. The Bible says there's some people are spiritual. Well, you've got contrast there. Well, right now, I can't look at somebody. They may tell me they're saved. I can't look at them and say, you know, that person right there is lost. Why? Because, hey, there's a lot of lost people who act better than some saved people. and morally, all right, but guess what? In the tribulation, you're going to be able to look right there and say, that person right there is not right. And then this person over here, he is. It's going to be a clear-cut contrast. And man, I'll tell you what, the upright is going to be hated by the bloodthirsty. Now, you know, the people, you get these sayings like, well, they're seeking my blood. And man, he's after blood, man. He's after blood. You know, sports and stuff. One of these days, they're literally going to be after blood. And it's going to be something connected with that blood. And so that's a strange verse, but it's there. Verse 11. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. You don't have to hang there long. That right there is self-explanatory. I know a lot of folks who just blurt it out right then. Just whatever's on their mind, it just comes right out. And you don't have to wonder or anything. Man, we're supposed to be able to keep our mouth shut. And you know what? I've had times in my life where I wished I'd have kept my mouth closed. I've got that saying. Remember, I wished I knew who said it, but angry words are how does exactly go? I just lost it. It's better to swallow angry words than having to eat them afterwards. I believe that's the saying there. And another one is a dog has so many friends because it wags its tail, not its tongue. And man, that thing will go there. Why? Because man, that these words, we're going to be judged by every idle of word, and a fool just speaks whatever's on his mind. And man, it gets people in. I guarantee you, everybody in here can think of somebody who just blurts out whatever. Man, keep your mouth shut. See, that Bible's trying to warn us. Why? Because the Lord knows we can get ourselves into a lot of trouble right quick. Why? Just saying whatever comes to mind. You know, there's a lot of excuses too. And I've used them and been there. Some people say, well, they're just getting old. They don't know no better. Don't be like that. That's no excuse for being mean. Well, they're just little. They don't know about. Get on to them. Tell them to do right. There's no excuse for just blurting out stuff, you know. And a lot of times, this is the excuse we'll use. We'll say, well, I just don't feel good today. So that's the excuse to be mean to folks. You know, we'll use this. Yeah. And so, get away from me. I'm mad. You know. I'll use this one. I got a headache. Better watch out. Well, that's not an excuse. That goes to me, you know, because man, if you get these bad headaches and stuff, you just watch out. Then, you know, just ruin everybody's day. Then, you know, and man, that thing—that's us acting foolish. And it tells us, you know, but a wise man keepeth it in. You know what? Some of the best things we can do is keep our mouth shut. It really is. I told you, I love these little sayings, you know. But you got one mouth and two ears, and do double the listening. And man, sometimes I got these teeth, you know, that's my cage for my tongue. I have to slam my tongue in the cage sometime, you know. And so there's a good verse. Another thing it says, if a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. Now, I tried to find this verse for y'all a little while back, and I pried through my Bible, and I'm so thankful I found it. But men become like what they worship. Look in your Bible at Psalms 115. Good practical stuff here. Psalm 115, and I'll show you something here in verse 8. Now, these people in this text are worshiping idols, and they're making things with their hands, just like stuff we see today. You know, some people say, I don't worship a false god. Okay, but yeah, on every Sunday, I told you about the one guy. He said, Sunday is my day, I worship grass. Okay, well, that's a strange God. Grass is a strange God. Well, what I mean is, if whatever we're doing that takes us away from the Lord, an idol is anything that you worship more, serve more, or love more than God, and we've all had them. Man, an idol can become anything, man. I mean, you can get to where, I tell you what you can do. This is something preachers have to watch out for. You can make sermons your idol. You really can. Because you know what? You can get addicted to getting all that information and all that Bible and all that Bible. But you know what happens? The preaching is wonderful. But you know what we're doing when we're getting preaching? That's our spoon fed. That man has put the study in and he's given it to us. And man, it's wonderful to get that. But guess what? We have got to get in ourselves and not let the thing take away from our fellowship. Why? Because God has got some things He wants to get down there and He wants to get in with you in the Bible and make you actually have to read several pages to get some conviction. And then finally say, boop, that's you. And man, and you know, sometimes God wants to bless you. Sometimes God wants to get in there and show you something and say, hey, I just wanted to show you that. I hadn't showed somebody else that. I just wanted to show you that right there just to bless you. And I think a lot of times I myself and others have missed blessings. Why? Because it's good to get with other men and show us. But another thing, it's good to get directly from God something He's trying to show you. And we got to remember that too, because God wants that intimate time, just like all of us. We want intimate time with our spouse and things like that. God wants to have a time with just you and Him in there in that Word. And He said, I wanted to show you this. That's special to me. I wanted to show you. And man, we ought not take that away from Him. Why? He wants fellowship. But I want to show you this thing. These idols here, they have. And Psalm 115, look at verse 8. They that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. You see that right there? You see why it's important to worship God and have your worship time? You become like what you worship. And you know what you'll find out with people? All right, let's say if golf is somebody's God. You know what you get around somebody? You know what all they want to do is talk about golf. Now, nothing wrong with talking about golf, but what I'm saying is, you find out what somebody's keen interest is after you get to talking to them, and some people, that's all they can talk about. I know people, all they can talk about is football. That's it. Nothing wrong with talking about football, but I'll tell you what, once it gets to where that's all you can talk about, you become like that thing, why that thing's become your idol. You know what our main subject should be? The Lord Jesus Christ should be our main subject. That should be our niche. That should be, man, you ever get him hung up on that? Man, I tell you what, you're going to be talking. That ought to be what folks know that we always trying to get back around. Hey, I know people, all they talk about, they're going to get you to weightlifting. Some kind of way. They're going to get you to talking about lifting weight. That's what they do. Some of these guys I went to college with, they're going to figure out some kind of way to get the subject off of whatever you're talking about, and their whole goal is to get it around here to talking about some kind of thing about fitness, some kind of new workout equipment or something. Why? Because they're like what they worship. We don't look at it like that. But you know, worship is this. The first time you see worship in the Bible, Genesis chapter 22, that word worship is mentioned in connection with Abraham obeying the command of God. He said, I and the lad will go yonder and worship. And you know what? He's obeying what God said. You know what they're doing? They're obeying what their master tells them to do. And you know what we're supposed to do? We're worshiping who we're obeying. His servants you are, Romans chapter 6, to whom you obey, his servants you are. How did Adam lose dominion over there in early Genesis? Instead of obeying the command of God, he obeyed the devil. And he ate that fruit. Why? He became someone else's servant. He lost his dominion. And see, guess what we do? We've got dominion over things, and you know what? Like, we give ground. We give ground to the devil. That's why, man, that Bible's there to help us. We become like what we worship. And so you got this thing over here in the proverb, and it'll give you a really good thing there, and it's talking about it. I just lost my verse here. I can't have see. If a ruler, I think I was in. If a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. So what happens is, you become like what you worship. So what you see is a ruler, if he sets a bad example, the people follow the lead. Just like in 2 Kings chapter 2, you got Manasseh there. Now, you know what else you'll find out too? There are people who look up to you. Here comes Simon Peter. He gets frustrated and he says, I go a fishing. You know what? There are other apostles following. Now, there's going to be people, if that's why it's so important for each and every one of us to keep our fellowship with the Lord up. Why? Because you never know if you fall, you never know who else you'll drag down with you. They say, man, if he fell, if she, man, what am I? And literally, there are people who do that. I mean, you think, nobody's looking at me. Somebody is. You know, you're an encouragement to somebody. Everybody is an encouragement to somebody. And that's why we have to be real careful there. Why? Because he's saying if a ruler is hearkening to lies, oh, the servants are wicked. Why? Because people follow leaders. Guess what God does? God takes a man and uses a man. He takes a Moses and gets a following. He takes a Gideon and gets a following. He takes a Jephthah and gets a following. He takes a David and gets a following. David, here it is, and guess who followed him? Those that were discontented, those who were in distress, and those who were in debt, they all followed David in the cave of Adullam. And man, he had a following. Guess what? He's saying, look, if you're going to be ruling, guess what? We're rulers too over something. Guess what? One of these days, we're all going to be kings. Can you imagine that thing? One of these days, here you are, and he's going to set you over some city and say, all right, okay, go over here and rule over these things. And you know what? We right now, knowing that that's in our future, hey, we need to behave like it. You know, the Bible says we're ambassadors and representatives. You know what's funny about ambassador? What's really interesting? Before a war, you know what the nation does with ambassadors? Come on. Goes and gets the ambassadors. You know what? With us, we're God's ambassadors. You know what? Before the war comes, before God comes down here and He's going to go get my ambassadors. Man, boom, we're gone. And then He comes down here and, buddy, He's going to stomp them. Man, I'm telling you what, it's a blessing. So that's a good verse. Verse 13, the poor and the deceitful man meet together. The Lord lighteneth both their eyes. All right, I like that. I really do like that verse a lot. Look at John chapter number 1. That verse is an encouragement to me. All right, now you think about this. Yeah, you can say, we always go with money. You know, poor man and rich man, both of them get light from the Lord. I understand that. But you know another thing too? A lot of us are poor spiritually, man. A lot of us, man, don't have a whole lot of learning and things like that. Guess what? The Lord can lighten you just like He can the great big old spiritual giant, who's rich in all kind of things and got more materials. I went to this one guy's house, and I kid y'all not, Carla can tell you, this man had a library every bit as big as this big room. Wow. His beautiful. Man, he's up there in close to Faulkner and way out in the countryside, and man, his library's on a hill. His house is over here on this hill, and you walk down the hill to his library down here by itself, and it's overlooking like a huge pasture. That afternoon, the sun was setting there, and it was shining on those fields, man, and the fields were gold, you know. And man, that sun come up across through there, and you could kind of see, you know, when he sat at his desk like this, books on this side, books on that side, beautiful old style wooden desk, and that old golden sunshine was just shining straight through those windows, and it just kind of golden in that library. And I thought, wow, you know. And then you get to talking, you know, talking about the Lord lighting both. He's spiritually, you think, man, this guy is rich. He's got access to all this information. Got talking to him about Bible, about wine and the Bible. He said, well, you know, the Lord, He drank wine. I said, no, He didn't. And you know what I think? The Lord, He gave me a little light on that one, a little set. That way I could tell Him. Guess what? We get light from the Lord. I thank God that He lights every man. John chapter 1, why? You can get light. Don't ever think that the other guy's got the monopoly on the light God gives, because they don't. John 1 verse 9, Jesus says, the light, watch this, that was the true light which lighteth all the spiritual giants that cometh into the world. Man, no, it says every man. I love that, man. That verse helps me some. Every man, not a few, He lights every man. The poor and the rich, and guess what? The Lord gives, and it says the Lord lighteneth. That's not somebody else. You know, I found this out too. Let's say there's a bunch of things that I have learned, like lately, man, learning all kind of stuff from some of my favorite teachers, Brother David Walker and Brother Peacock. They are teaching me all kinds of stuff. But you know what is a blessing about it? I can learn that stuff, but if the Lord don't light the information to me and make it real to my heart, it don't matter. You can learn all this stuff if you want to. You'll forget it and I won't apply it and anything else. The Lord has to make it real to you. That's like here in these Bible verses. I can show you the cross reference, but the Holy Spirit has to light you with that thing and show it to you. And man, thank the Lord, He does those things. Why? I've seen some people, you know, we're sitting here having a great big old time, and some people hear why they've rejected the light. And you know what they do? They look at that light of that word and go, ah. Well, you know what's happened? I found another verse I was wanting to show you. This has happened to him. Look at Jeremiah chapter number 13, rebellion chapter here. Y'all, I hope I don't get on your nerves when I do them numbers, but I'm going to tell you something. It amazes me. I know it's not foolproof. It's not every single time, but it amazes me how often it happens in the Bible where that number will match up with something. And, I've heard people say, well, you know, those verse markings, you know, a man on horseback. Yeah, I tell you what, that man done a real good job with those verse markings. He done a real good job, man. I want to show you something here. In Jeremiah 13, and y'all heard the old preacher say light rejected becomes lightning, and I actually read one place this guy evidently didn't like him, and he said that's not in the Bible. Well, it's not there word for word, but it's here. The principle's here. Jeremiah 13 verse 15. Now watch this. A lot of things connected with hearing the Word of God. He says, hear ye and give ear. Now look, hear ye and give ear. It's one thing to hear it, but give your ear and actually hear what's coming in. You know, so many people, they hear it and it comes through like this and goes right out the other ear. Hear it and give the ear to it. All right, be given to it. Be not proud, man. Man, you got to look up proud and pride in the Bible and see, and mark in your margin there, and you will be surprised what it points to. All right, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before He calls darkness. Now, who did it? The Lord did. Why? Because He's the light, and you reject Him when you reject the light. See, people don't realize when they reject the Word, they're rejecting God because He's connected to His Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All right? And before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains, and while you look for light. Herod, at first, Herod cut off before he heard John gladly. See, you look for light. All right, he heard John. There was the light. There was the voice. He cut his head off. Later on, he sees the light himself. He's looking for it, and he can't find it. Jesus don't answer him a word. It's just right there. It says, and while you look for light, he turned it into... Who did it? The Lord. Why? You rejected Him. He turned it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. Look at that. Light rejected. It becomes lightning. It'll light you up and kill you. All right, but if you will not hear it, see, if you will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places. Why? For your pride. He said, if you're not hearing the Word, you know what the root problem is? Pride. Now, you know what's sad? When you see these people carrying around these signs with this different pride that they have, all kind of different pride that people got nowadays, not only just gay pride, but all kind of pride. All right, well, guess what you find out? According to that Bible right there, they've rejected God's Word. And mine eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. You know what you'll find out there? The Bible says in Ezekiel, the Lord hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Well, it don't please the Lord to see that thing, but guess what He'll do? People say, well, God is love. Okay, He loves you enough to send you and throw you in hell. Ain't that amazing? Hey, how's that for love? You know, see, what people don't realize, they have an unbalanced God. You cannot love without hating. Can't do it. It don't work. You can't tell somebody you love so-and-so without hating the opposite of that. It just don't work. And so they can't have a God who's a God of love if He's not a God of hate too. It just don't work. It's not the right God. So it shows you they got a lopsided God. All right. Now back to the text here. You'll see that thing. He lighteneth their eyes. So thank the Lord for that. The king that faithfully judgeth the poor, his throne shall be established forever. The commentary on that is Psalm 72. The Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, one of these days, is going to come back and He's going to judge them just right. And guess what? His throne is going to be established forever. He's going to be the only one that's going to have a throne that is established forever. Points to the Lord. He's going to judge just right. Verse 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left himself bringeth his mother to shame. Cut out the Bible! We don't want that Bible! You know, there it is. But a child left himself. See, self. See, himself bringeth his mother to shame. You know what people want to do? They want to let somebody else raise the child. And what I mean by that is, they just throw them to the wind. Just whatever. Let the TV raise them, or let so and so raise them. You know what gets me? A lot of people they send their children to school, and then whenever they come home, don't even talk to them. Yeah. Well, what? And then they wonder. You know, look. You've got to interact with the child. You've got to talk to the child. You know, and actually let that child be a person. I saw on the news today, a daycare put up a sign, and y'all can look this thing up, it's hilarious. It said, get off your cell phone. And it said, did you see it? It said, you're picking up your child. Get off your phone and give your child some attention. Man, you talking about some uproar. You talking about some uproar. Man, people were mad. They was like, you don't talk to us like that. We're paying your salary. And what it is that lady probably actually loves children, and she hates to see this child, you know, coloring this paper here, and can't wait to mom and daddy walk in, and they get in there, and mom and daddy's just looking on the cell phone like this right here, and they come, you know, like this, and they walk out. Well, y'all, we've actually got to, there are people in the world. You know what I don't do? And I don't think it's right either. If I go to a restaurant, or if I go to, let's just say, food giant, and go up there and get me a plate lunch, I despise seeing people up there. Hey, go ahead and get me this right here. Like, and they're talking like, and they're talking on the phone. The lady's like, what did you want? Yeah, oh yeah, man. And they walk off for a second. The lady's like, hey, I'm alive. I'm a person here. It's like there's no care, no concern for others anymore. It's just like, hey, you're in my way. I need you to do whatever, and then get back out of my way. That's the attitude. Now, and I tell y'all, that is, a Christian ought not be like that. A Christian ought to be concerned and caring and compassionate. And you can't do that while everybody else is just pushed out of your world. And now look, I believe that, you know, the Bible says we can use these things without abusing them. I think it's 1 Corinthians 7:31. Using this world, not abusing it. But at the same time, we do have these things, and I see a lot of good with some of those things. I send Bible verses to some of you. I think there's good things that can come from. But at the same time, I think people are addicted to information. They have to constantly have an inflow. Sometimes, look, maybe God wants to speak to you in your mind, and maybe He wants to deal with your heart about something. And you know what? It's good sometimes just to sit there and not have any outside information coming in, and sit down with your Bible for a little while and actually let it be peace and quiet for a little while. Why? Let the Lord deal with your heart. You know what I believe a lot of this stuff is? It's a radio in your vehicle. It's a radio whenever you get out. It's a radio on the loudspeaker outside in the parking lot. It's a radio as soon as you get in any store you go in. It's always a constant radio playing. You know why? That way that you don't have to listen to that conscience. You don't have to listen to that. Why lost folks have to constantly, or carnal people have to constantly have something going. Why? Because they don't want to hear that still small voice. Why? Because if you're going to hear that still small voice, you've got to get still and you got to get quiet for a minute. And people don't want to be quiet long enough to let the Lord listen to them. Hey, I can tell you, I know I've done it before in my earlier years. I used to sleep with the TV on all the time and have that noise. And you know what happens? You got that thing always on. And man, I think that can become dangerous. Why? You got to be still sometime. There has got to be a time when you're still and quiet. And y'all, I'm telling you, you know, biblically wise, we get too far with those things, and left to himself, he brings shame. Verse 16, when the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see their fall. You know what you're going to find out? Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. You know what we're going to see? All of us, you're saved. Guess what? You're going to see the fall of the wicked one of these days. Man, one of these days, that devil and all that hope, we're going to see the fall of every bit of that stuff. Man, that's going to be a blessing. I heard one guy one time, he said, I'm going to kick him on the way out, man. He said, when that angel binds the devil, he said, I want to be right there. I'm going to kick him on the way down. Which he had a hard time, you know. But I tell you what, though, you imagine what our eyes are going to see. Our eyes are going to literally see all those ones who hate the Lord and hate that Bible and hate you and hate what you stand for, you're going to see their end. And that thing will go right there. Verse 17, correct thy son. No, turn it off. And he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. The thing is we see this too. You see Solomon writing his son here, and he's saying, look, you get correction. Why? Because there's rest that has to do with correction. You know what it rests my soul to know this right here? I know that my father up here loves me. Why? Because he don't let me get away with those things. And whenever I sin, guess what happens? That wasn't right. He bothers me. And man, you better thank the Lord that you get that. Why? But he's correcting you. Why? One of the worst things he can do is just let you go on in your own merry way and let you have your way. His own way. Every man hath went his own way, and the Lord laid on him. And I'm telling you, man, it's our way that gets us. And I said, Lord, we've prayed before about things we didn't know. I'll tell the Lord this. I said, Lord, you know I don't know what to do here. I don't know which way to turn. Lord, if I'm going the wrong way, please keep me from going there. Why? Because I know I can mess things up so bad and take years to get out of the thing, if I ever get out of it. And I just say, Lord, help me, because I can't do it. And well, I thank God for the correction. Now, here's a good one. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, Webster said, a vision is being able to see what's in front of you. Basically, I put it down about like that. If you got vision, you can see in front of you. Now, we can say it like this right here. If somebody don't have a vision for souls, and if somebody don't have a vision for a church, and if somebody don't have a vision for this and that, well, you can devotionalize it and say that there's going to be people that perish. And you ought to have a vision as far as where you want to go in a direction. Now, you can devotionalize it like that. But this thing's got something to do with the Word. If you're keeping, in the Old Testament, they had to keep the law. Alright, but you know with us too, as far as us, we still need to be keeping His words though, over and over in the Pauline epistles. It tells us what to do. We ought to be trying to keep His word and do right. Now you know what that thing's connected to? You can lose your vision. Look at 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. In the Old Testament, if they did not keep the law, they lost their vision. Now, you say, how does that apply to us? I can give you several verses right there where Paul tells you to keep his words and mind his words, study his words, and over and over and over about his words. And, you know, you read the pastoral epistles over there. We're supposed to be people of the book, and we're supposed to be keeping these things and walking in these things and walking in his statutes and things like that. And why? What happens is, we've got to realize, we think, this is what happened. We get so physical. I say, hey, I can see all of y'all right now. I've got vision. What are you talking about? I lose my vision. He's not talking about, I can't see the spiritual realm. So you know what? It's like I'm walking around a physical world, but at the same time, you've got spiritual things going on. So unless you're walking by the lamp that lights your path spiritually, you can't see anymore. You're talking about discernment. You lose your discernment. You get to where you think, oh, I don't have to go by that. I know it says over in 1 Corinthians. Yeah, I know that verse, but I don't have to go by that. I know where it says knowledge puffeth up, but I don't have to. That's not going to happen to me. And guess what happened? You lose your vision. And that thing is connected to the Word. 1 Samuel 3 and verse number, I believe it's verse 1. 1 Samuel 3, verse number 1, it says this. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious. Man, wouldn't it be nice if the word of the Lord was precious in these days? Alright, in those days, there was no open vision. You know what they had done? This is right after Judges, when every man was doing what was right in their own eyes. And here they are at this time period, and guess what happens? There's no open vision. The Lord's not giving vision. He spoke by visions a lot during that time. And you know what He's doing? He's not speaking to people. Now, you know what you'll find out with us? I've been there myself. That's why I can say this from personal experience. And I've seen other people go there. I've seen people get in this book right here and it's just as dry to them as cracker juice. Why? Because God's not going to speak to you. If you've rejected Him, what's He got to say to you? You've rejected Him. So you know what happens? This book becomes a totally better book. Y'all get me laughing. This book becomes different though when you're in fellowship with the one who wrote it. Because see, there's no other book when you sit down other than this one, the author sits down there with you. Well, guess what? If you're out of fellowship, how can two walk together set to be agreed? Amos 3:3. So here you are, you're not agreed with the author. You sit down here and he's going, Yeah, your heart's not right. You don't want anything from this book. You're trying to alibi your sin. I'm not talking to you. And people say, he don't do that. Okay, what's all them verses about fellowship then? What's all them verses about liking in our relationship to a spouse, husband, and wife, and things like that? Why, that's in there for a reason, to show you that thing about fellowship. You know what happened? Well, there is no vision. People perish. You think about with us, if God's not speaking to us, you think we're going to witness? If God's not, you think that'll cause some people to perish. If God's not speaking to us and we're not in fellowship with Him, wonder how many people we're going to tell about the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation by grace through faith alone and no works alone. All that. Well, with all these people teaching this crazy stuff nowadays that they teach, somebody's got to have a vision. Somebody's got to be in fellowship. Somebody's got to be looking at that book daily to get fresh things. You know, it's one thing that I love teaching these things that I'm taught, but guess what? I like to put it in a fresh manner as well, too. Look, there's new illustrations you can use, and there's new ways to go about it, and new ways to cross-reference the verses and things like that. That's like, I've heard one preacher preach on the parable of the sower, and guess what? Wonderful message. I heard another preacher preach the same message, excellent doctrine, and guess what? He just come at it from a different angle. Wonderful. two different men preach the same message. One, why? You can do the same thing. Have it fresh. Just come out there with it fresh. But you got to be in fellowship. You can get to where you can literally lose your vision. Why? By not fellowshipping. I tell you when you know it too. Because I can tell it when I know I need to be dealing with the Lord about something. He put His finger on something in your heart and He said, that thing right there is coming between us and I want it gone. And He'll tell you. You know He will. Oh, but Lord, if I do that. And you get to doing this if. And you know what happens? You come in here and you find yourself, you read a chapter and you say, nah, I read my chapter. I'm serious. I mean, you wouldn't say that out loud now. No. But in your mind, you come through there and you say, yep, I read my proverb for a day. Close it up and you don't think about it. What's happened? That thing, that fellowship there is not like it was, Mom. Because I can tell you, when that fellowship is sweet, you can't wait to hear the next sermon. You can't wait to the time that you get to tell the Lord, thank you for something. You can't wait to get in there and learn something else. You can't wait to mark something else in your Bible. You can't wait to say, oh man, I didn't see it like that. Well, what happens is the excitement's gone. Why? You lose your wonder. That's one of the scariest things for me as a pastor. You know how scary it would be to stand up here and try to tell y'all and try to minister the Word to you and not be excited about it? I can't imagine. Man, it'd just be, I'd have to get right with God and say, Lord, forgive me, help me, man. I need you. Lord, I need you. Why? Because, man, this is exciting. And, man, this is one of the most exciting things I can think of, if not the most exciting, other than seeing the Lord Jesus Christ, to be able to just give you these things out of this book. And, man, you think about this. If we're not trying to keep what He says, lose your vision, and guess what? You stand up here and say, well, you know, turn in your Bible, you know. And I've seen it, man. I've seen them on TV. Open your Bibles, please. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And here we see that over here it says, and you need to be water baptized. And what happens, you know what's happened? They've got dry. They're so dry. Why? Because there's no fellowship. It's a job. It's just a, yeah, this is just something I do, you know. Now, preaching is not something you do, it's what you are. And you know what, as far as with us, the Bible says ye are witnesses, it's what you are. And you know what happens? He made you that. So guess what? If a turtle, He made a turtle, and that turtle's made to go swim around in that pond over there, and he's not doing what he is made to do, do you think he's going to be enjoying? Now, you know what happens? Here, God made us for fellowship with Him, and He made us to give Him glory, and He made us for His purposes. And when you're not doing His purpose, you're not going to find joy. You won't find it because you are made for Him. You wonder why all these people have to delve so deep into these things that they delve into. They're trying to fill that void of that fellowship that only Jesus Christ can fill. And we a lot of times we stop there and we say, only Jesus can fill that void. It goes deeper than that. Only the fellowship with Him can fill that void. Because, man, once you get in fellowship with Him, it literally shows you get up in the morning and you say, I've got something to live for today. Lord, help me tell one person, at least one person, about you today. And guess what? He'll say, you told that, now I got another down here too I want you to tell about. And man, you just have a purpose for living. And I'll tell you what, when you get a purpose, it'll change your whole demeanor and change the way you look at that book. And that's what we've got to have, is a vision. And that thing's missing today, but I tell you, you can get it by doing what He says in His book. We'll stop there.